This is Reel 5 of 6 Reels, interviewing Simon Sobolev. Lives in the summertime in Central. In wintertime, he's retired to Gig Harbor, Washington.
Washing clothes is all automatic.
Yeah. Let's get back to you and we were talking about you lived in a cabin near the railroad station. You paid $7 a month.
$7 a month, yeah.
And your partner, or your... You lived with a Frenchman who made...
Frenchman, Henry Lamotte. He's dead now.
Henry Lamotte.
He's an excellent mechanic and excellent welder.
Okay, then that winter you went to school.
The other winter I went to school, yeah.
And the next... you took postgraduate courses.
I will tell them about professors. That was Jim Patti. He was my professor in mining.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of us were like Professor Henton. He's a metallurgy professor, Henton.
Metallurgy?
Yeah, Henton, you see. And... Anderson, he died now. He was also teaching mining a little bit, but then also a great instructor. Then Professor Wilkerson, he is a geologist and also a mineralogist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was mining. Of course, that there was a civil engineer, the Chest, he was a nice guy. I like him very well. Yeah, but he is one I worked with him together. But those instructors and professors, I want to tell you frankly, I didn't think of them very much. And they are what they call, they get by, all right.
Mediocre?
Yes, because the school was small at that time.
School was very small.
And they couldn't afford to hire high type, what they call, you might say, scholarly inclined professors.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't care to whether I could... advanced degree or not, I'm not very much interested. First of all, the school is too small for me. But I still put all in there because I learned lots of too, because I was busy preparing for students many things, you see. Advanced work, you see. And Jim Patti and I went out many places, and surveying, mine surveying, like Clary Hill and so on, for example. Mm-hmm. So he was pretty good that way, and we go out together, you see. And I was helping him and so on.
So you learned a lot just from practical experience.
Yeah, from practical. Go out to some place and the field, you see. Mm-hmm. That's nice. And then, of course. So that then after that, next year after that, I went to work in the mine. Let's see, what did I do? I work in that Hawkins mine, that on one of those mine close to the coarse mine, where the other husband was carrying that work.
What was the name of the Hawkins?
Hawkins, yeah.
Hawkins.
I don't know. Like a hawk, Hawkins, you see, his mind.
Where was that?
That was 19, I don't know what was it. After that, let's see that. I don't want to make it mix up that in the days, because before that I was prospecting on my own a whole year. Nobody, you see, that.
So you went up to Fairbanks in 1931, and then you went to school that winter,
yeah.
And then the summer of 32,
I was working on one of the mines over there.
Hawkins mine.
Hawkins mine.
And then you spent the next summer prospecting on your own.
Then I go out to work in 1933 here.
Okay, 32, then you were working in the Hawkins mine.
The Hawkins mine, and then that illness, you know.
Illness?
Yes, yeah.
In 1933, you went to work at the Olness.
No. I 1933. I will come this week.
Oh, 1933. You came to the
Circle District. Yeah.
Let me make a note of that.
Yeah.
Because that's an important date I wanted to get
down.
Yeah,
1933. Walking from Fairbanks to Circle Hot Spring.
Okay.
Walking to Fairbanks to Circle Hot Spring, where I met Ron Klitsch.
And you walked was it in the spring before the snow melted?
Yeah, April.
You started in April.
Yeah.
And did you walk by yourself?
Well, no, nobody, by myself.
Nobody to go with you?
No. Well, who wants to walk like that?
Who wants to walk to
no,
Circle?
No.
Why did you want to come here?
Well, I talked to one guy that they called the Circle District for Poor Men.
District for Poor Men.
Yeah, it is. I found it is.
It is.
Yeah. So I come here, and I don't look for a job, because later on they offer me a job like in many other places. And I said, no, I don't want that. I know I gain confidence that I can make a living without working for you. Because I work on the bar, they snap in the gold and so on like that, independent, you see.
Yeah.
But of course, eventually I would work very later on. But anyhow, so it was that I worked because I stopped, of course, because a big company was pretty nice. I stopped in their camp.
Uh-huh.
They're very, very cordial to me. because that time only very few men walk. I was one, that you see.
Yes.
Not like now this whole kind of thousands of them who you can afford it, you see. But
well, they had a stage. It came from Chattanooga to circle at that time, didn't they?
Well, there was a winter time that they had what they call not stage, but they had a dog team and also that horses.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, the horse stage.
Horses, yeah, horses.
And then, didn't they go from Chattanooga, the end of the railroad? I was talking to a fellow named Dick Callahan one time, and he used to drive horses from Chattanooga to Circle. But that was before 1933. That was
well,
that
my,
was
my time, there too, drive this horse, too, from Chattanooga to Circle, too.
So,
mail,
the mail would come by horse.
That's right.
Bring it by horse.
Mail,
well, you started from Fairbanks, and did you go up over Clary Summit, or did you go along the railroad track?
No, Clary Summit. Just no railroad track, just Clary Summit.
And
Summit, and go out there. That was big house was there, naked moonshine. But lady was a very nice, beautiful lady. Was there was a Shehor when they talking. And then so I one time I bought later on I started work on Aston Creek. I went out to we need the horse to help on mine. So I went out to bought the horse, and later on I rode the horse back again from Fairbanks to here.
From Fairbanks?
Yeah.
Because you needed a horse here at Mastodon Creek?
My Mastodon Creek, a guy, another guy, she working.
Well, tell me about your trip when you left Fairbanks. What did you have with you? What did you carry in your
pack? Just a small pack, rifle, of course, pocket knife and like that. And then I had rice and butter, that's about corned beef maybe like that.
Very rice, good. Butter, corned beef?
That's all.
Did you shoot any ptarmigan
or
rabbits?
No. I got enough stuff over there. Then after rice, I left rice. Rice and butter, so good enough for me.
Uh-huh.
And I sleep on the outdoor all the time. Not today, not
well,
today.
April is not too cold
out. No, and I had, of course, sleeping bag, too, small sleeping mm-hmm. bag.
You see. What kind of shoes did you wear?
I think I got a shoe pack, of course. I wore a shoe pack most of the time, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shoe pack, you see.
Did you run into any wolves or bears on your
way? Bears. I started coming out. Matter of fact, when I come here and from Eagle Summit to here, to this place, I saw that a couple of bears here that was there. They already come out, you see.
Did you see the bears or just their tracks?
Well, I saw the black bear, yes. Yeah. But they come out already here, you see that.
From hibernation?
Hibernation, you see. And I saw some kind of bears that I had to can and rattle the can, you see.
What'd you do, just put rock in a can?
No rocks, yes.
And that frightens a bear?
Yeah, no. Now here's my wife, when she goes to the toilet over there, the toilet was in the brush. Now you got to be careful because maybe sometimes bear there someplace. If she got to go out and hit her rattle.
When she goes to the toilet,
yeah.
You rattle a can.
Yeah, so that you see, when you go in the toilet, of course, no trouble. But they were there, that toilet I got over there. Not very comfortable. But I had a better, but now getting old, but still not so bad yet.
Yeah. But you saw two bears that trip.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, later on, of course, it's a bear. You can't be caught often. When I came, there was nobody here to speak of. Only all the money from the creek. And that's on the roadhouse here, that big old house, that all now locked there.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that, let's see what else it was. Here's in the corner, I guess, there was a little, some kind of shack here, too, in the corner. But no Franklin Weaver, nothing like that.
No, yeah. There were a lot of people at the springs.
In the spring, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, how many days did it take you to walk from?
Quite a while. I don't know, maybe, at least maybe 10 days, I think, because I took it easy.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe 15, 20 miles a day. Muddy roads, you see, not.
Well, you walked in the road.
Road, all on the road all the time.
Yeah.
The trail, I said, not the road, you see.
Just a trail.
Yeah. It's no car. If you can really got the car there, you see, that from Fairbanks to maybe as far as I said, Chattanooga or not, I don't remember. Maybe they did. Oh, yeah, that's Chattanooga, yeah. Beyond Chattanooga, too.
Well, did you ever have a car over here in Circle?
No, never had a car, my own.
Some people had old cars that they brought in the early days.
Well, here's a car that I that drives out. It's the five shift that standing right now. That by that corner. It's not for sale.
Not for sale.
Yeah. Well, I drove that car. Yeah. I got it in Fairbanks. Bought it. You see.
You did.
Yeah. And for $300, you see. And I make two trips with that car on the back and forth. Every time I go, there'll be more road.
Yeah.
And you know how fast you can go on that car? Best roads you can only go 40 miles an hour.
Where is that car?
Right here by that, here on the corner there, standing by that
corner. Do you still own it?
No, I sold it to him. The guy, he wants to get, so I sold it for 200 or 300, I forgot now, 200 I think.
Yeah. Was it a truck?
No, it's just a 1942 old car.
Oh, 1942.
1942.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, he got the shift, three shifts this way, three shifts back, and all kind of that shift, and the big tires, and this, all time.
Mm-hmm.
It's so slow. When I go to fire branch, I can go for a fair from here to that middle house, but then up the hill, I can walk faster so I can go in the car.
Walk faster.
Yeah. That's all we can pull.
Yeah.
No, that's not good.
So it took you about 10 days to walk over here, that first trip.
Yeah, first trip, yeah.
And when you arrived here in Central, you were headed for the springs.
I got to springs.
You went to the springs.
Yeah, then the first thing I see was Frank Leach.
Frank Leach.
Leach is his husband.
Now, Frank Leach is the one who built...
He's the one that owner built this place over there.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that Simon said maybe he wanted to go to... Bill Young, to go for supper. Well, I said, my gosh, I said, Frank, I the first time I met him, I said, Mr. Leach, I said, I got no money paper supper. I got Bill Grop with me. Go and I said, no, never mind, Zach, one, you get money later on, so just go eat. So, my gosh, I'll eat and... And we slept now, I slept in that one house where the now the bridge one there.
Where the saloon counter. Is?
Yeah, it was a bunkhouse.
Bunkhouse,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I slept in that house too.
What, when you arrived there in 1933, how many buildings were there?
Well, there quite a few cabins, yeah, very good shaped cabin too.
But they had the big hotel?
Big hotel, yeah, big hotel.
And several cabins?
Yes. Several cabins,
mm-hmm.
And of course that even that now this one Birjoin is now what they call counter. That was also one of those bunkhouses.
Bunkhouses,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they have the bathhouse?
Well, we had a bathhouse. Yeah, it's small bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice when you go take a bath. It's all right. It's very nice. You see.
Yeah.
And of course they got the horses and they got the chicken. They got the cows in the barn. They got a nice big store over there. You see. And several places around the store, several men around the store. Albert Bernard, you see, for instance, his name is here. I think I showed yesterday. Yeah. And that he was what's there now.
He was this he Albert was F. Bernard.
Yeah, he was an owner of that. He ran the store. He got.
He ran
of,
the store at the springs.
At the spring.
That was in 1933.
Yeah, 1933.
Now this little shot glass you showed me.
Yeah.
This says Fairbanks Liquor Store, 531 First Avenue, Fairbanks. Now he later then moved into Fairbanks.
Moved from Fairbanks to here. Well, later on he was running the store. I think it was not a. I guess he was around some of that time. I'm not positive for here, somebody else. But anyway, he was later on in the store there too, Albert Bernard.
At the springs?
At the springs, yeah.
Yeah, I
because
see.
Several of them changed around.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was George Taylor, he ran the store, but George Taylor, he's my neighbor here, but he died. He was dead, you see, and anyway, that's all. They changed, but Albert Bernard, later on was a cashier.
Who ran the store?
Yeah, that Keshi was down
at the. Well, how about Mr. Leach? When did he come to the springs?
Well, I don't know. I forgot now when he came. A long time ago. I never asked that Frank when he came to springs. He graduated from the college back east someplace.
But when you came to the springs, it was already built. The hotel
was built.
And how long? How long had it been built? 2 or 3 years?
Oh yes, but at least that. Yeah. But they are still working at quite a few other places. Like for instance, there's now. In addition to the work now, there was a fellow that I know, my friend here. He was a carpenter. He's a very good designer. He designed
mm-hmm.
the building.
But, so when you came in 1933, the hotel at the Springs was maybe 2 or 3 years old.
Oh, maybe more than that.
Maybe more than that. Who would know when it was built?
Well, I don't know. I think it's Benny Bauer here, that guy. He was my carpenter here. Used to live in that, on the here, on the Boulder Creek. But he's a very good designer. He showed me that the plant he designed that lots of stuff here. And I suspect that he's the one to build it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most of it, that place.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, where did Frank Leach come from before he came to Circle? To the Springs?
I never asked him what city he came from.
His wife, I understand, used to be a nurse at Fort Yukon.
That's what I say, yes. Fort Yukon, mm-hmm. That's right. He was
and she's still living over there.
Yeah.
And when I left here yesterday and got back to the Springs, I looked out my window and she was out taking care of her, picking some raspberries right in front of her cabin, and then fixing her flowers. She has some nasturtiums and delphiniums and working in that. I didn't talk to her because she wouldn't look up. I think she just, people go by bathhouse or to the swimming pool, and she pays no attention to them.
Well, of course she knows me well because she's a friend of mine. But when she starts to talk, she will not let you go. She will talk to death.
That's good. I'd like to talk to her.
Yeah, well, she is good. I got good information. Well, when I meet she now, he and his husband, we're very good friends.
If someone like you or another good friend of hers took me and introduced me to her, do you think she would talk to me? To tell me about the springs and her husband?
Oh, yeah, she would talk quite a bit. Mm-hmm. If you talk to her now, she would be glad to talk to you. She's all time. And now when I come, Frank Leach, first of all, I stayed there for a couple of days and I fixed up. He says, Simon, you go over that birch creek, you see. My boys were working, sniping the gold on the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I get from him some supply, and maybe 60 pounds a pack, maybe I don't know, then in June. Mosquitoes, mm-hmm. And I go right on Old Portage Creek, we up to them, then go to the ridge over there, the mountain, then go on the other side, on the Portage Creek, cross the birch creek over there, and then I found the little guys that he was talking about, mm-hmm. First time I met him.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Rogers, he was get off. Commissioner, later
Charlie
on.
Who?
Roger.
Charlie Roger?
No, very nice person.
He was the commissioner?
He was a commissioner here at Shoka Hot Spring.
And he was on Upper Birch Creek?
Upper Birch Creek. But he later on, he became commissioner, but he was working over there. So, yeah.
And he was just sniping gold on the sandbars.
Yeah. And he got a couple of guys to work with him, too, mm-hmm. You see. They're all the old-timers, you see.
And did you work for him?
No, I got take me down below a separate bar, you see. You see, the river like that, you see, and of course the bar. So he was working on that side, and I was on the same side. That would be on the right limit of that, what mm-hmm. they call birch, you see. So I go out when the south fork come this way and north fork this way, two birches, you know, and I go out to make it the main birch. And I was not too far here, working on that bar there, you see.
Yes.
He took me over there to show me, and she showed me how to pan the gold on the bar. It takes quite a skill to do that.
Did you ever pan before?
Oh, I pan lots, but it's this bar business is different.
It was different.
Because bar business, gold is very light.
Oh, flaky. I see, yeah.
The float.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you can see whether a pretty good size, it looked like a pretty good piece, but it's just also flaky, it could be thin and the
float. It was flaky gold then, flaky so gold, it was a different...
The water carried out in the deposit. Usually, if it, like that creek, you see that the bar here, you see, and the rises go down here, point, mm-hmm. but pretty good one, see.
So, did you spend the summer of 1933 just working on the...
Well, I worked maybe about a couple of months, I worked over there in the barn. Mm-hmm. Then I got to Brown. Brown, he used to be over there at Sugar Hot Spring. Ed Brown and Al Brown.
Ed Brown and Al Brown.
Ed Brown, he was a big shot at Sugar Hot Spring. He was taking care of horses and taking the hotel and like that. Well, helped with Frank Leach many, many places. Something shaft was in, but his brother, he comes there and he talked me to go with him another part of Alaska, the Chal River, way up to the Chal River, that wonderful country.
Shell River?
Chal River.
Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie River. Yeah.
That's a long ways from here.
Ooh, about 70-80 miles from, on the right hand, you go up, the left limit, of course, that Yukon River, see?
Left limit of the...
No, that, let's see. Yeah, on the left limit, yeah, Yukon River.
And it's about 70 miles up the Yukon from here?
From here, yeah. You got to go above the Woodchopper, go to Coal Creek, or Sam Creek, and then you, from Sam Creek, you go to that Chal River. Chal River, big country. To go, so you hit about 100 to 150 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go ahead of that, there'll be 40 miles country.
Oh, I see.
The division, Eagle area and Circle area.
Yeah, and on the other side is the 40-mile district.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's actually in the sea.
Well, was that the same summer?
Same summer, yeah.
And then you took off with him and...
I took off with him and I stayed there, see?
For how long? All winter?
Well, winter and the summer. The rest of the summer.
The rest of summer, 33, and then that winter?
Yeah.
And did you sink a lot of holes that winter?
Well, we trapped in a sinkhole like that. I was Volga boatman.
You were what?
Volga boatman business. Just a Volga boatman. Long line, strap on my shoulder, five dogs that follow me. And Al Brown, he was with the pole, pulled the boat. I line him up like that, you see. You can't go on there. We got a power, a motor, 9 horsepower, but we lifted it in the lower cabin.
You
pulled the boat.
Up the Charlie River.
Up the river. And he was in the pole, 28-foot boat. and I will 100-foot line and strap over her shoulder and I line them up.
Along the and floor. You and the dogs pull.
I the dog pull. Well, he's a puller, but I line them up, you see. And we had the 5 dogs, leader and so on. There was nobody at that time in the Chao River, beautiful country, you see. It took us all summer to go, almost.
All summer to go up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we had some riffles to go.
Yeah.
Pretty strong. Then you go from change to one, you see, if you come to Bluff, you can go anymore. So we get across the river, and I line up the rope, dogs, they come in, and follow, swim across the, that other side, and get go, you see?
Yeah.
And the leader dog, we get the cowbell on him, so he can chase the game away. Go and ring the bell. All kind of caribou, moose, mountain sheep, wolves, bear, all kind.
Is that right?
That's right.
And the leader wore a cowbell.
Well, a cowbell, if he was going to chase the game away, you see. We don't want no game in summertime to yeah. do it, see. Well, that's, I think, is right. Maybe that was 1933, if I'm not mistaken. It is 1933, all right. That's what it was, yeah. And then, of course, I stay all the winter. There and summer and winter. Well, I come back, maybe I come back from the by snowshoe still yet before that sow out comes to that of Chao River. I left the partner was there, and he was over there, and he was trapped in there. And I don't want him to, he gave me the gift for, oh, that you can bet it for because you're old man, I'm young, I can go out to work, you see. So I snowshoe down this woodchopper kick, and I only come with that whiskers, looks like a hippie here, too, you see. And I had mounted skin over my head, nothing else. I got no clothes on me.
No clothes?
Well, no. Well, they all wore out, no place to buy. You see, many, one I can get from about 70 miles trip to.
You look like a hippie.
Like hippies, yeah.
Long hair. Well, long beard.
Not long hair, just mustache and beard, you see.
And you had a sheepskin.
Sheepskin affair over my gears to keep me warm.
Well, what did you have on your legs?
Well, very, very, not much.
Did you use caribou
leggings? Yeah, caribou there too, you see.
Well, how about shoes?
Well, I had, of course, moccasins.
Did you make them yourself?
Well, no, I had, but we make it, but I had all right. But Al Brown, he was pretty good handyman. Even used the bone needles. He's a caveman, almost like that.
Is that right?
From beginning to the end, just like that. Yes. He's a white man, he's an experienced man. He get the own, what they call, sinews, making the own sinews.
Sinew.
And also that needles, bone needles, fix up the thing, so everything, you see.
And he sewed moccasins
Moccasin,
that
yes,
winter.
That's right, yes. And we hit, of course, hit the trapping, we got to 4. And the wolverine, he set up any kind of trap for wolverine, horse, get to for meat, the wolverine got to meat. So we fix him, we get to build, we build quite a few cabins there, you see. We got 4 cabins over there
yeah.
on Chao River. And talking about building shack. Those shack like I built in 2 days. In the bank, you see, dig out of the hole, put 4 posts, and I, the beams like that, that lean against it to something like that, to brush and so on like that, and put on the top the moss, and moss is like that, it's good enough. And a window on the top, see? And the door, caribou high. See?
Yeah.
And caribou hides. That's all.
That's what you lived in.
That's all that is, you see.
Yeah.
Just like a caveman.
Just like a caveman.
That's all.
Well, when you came down dressed like a caveman, did you come? To Circle?
No, come to woodchopper. That's what post office was there, and trading post, woodchopper, you see.
So what happened when you came in looking like a hippie?
Yeah, Mrs. Welsh, of course, they were my partners in the woodchopper claim, what we seek later on, you see, before they start to dress, you see.
And Mrs. Welch was the
Welch, the boss of the nice old people, you see. And she recognized my voice. He said, now, we go upstairs, I'm going to put my husband's clothes on you.
What did she say when she saw you with all this beard and this sheepskin?
She recognized my voice, but that's all.
Did she ask you who you were?
Oh, you're Simon, you go up now upstairs, she said to me. Put my husband's clothes on you. You got nothing, you see.
Why'd you take a bath first?
Well, I took a bath, all right, but there was no bath to see either there, you see. But I got to have it washed up the bath if you want to wash, you see. But they got an old house, story old house. Later on, it was washed out, destroyed, you see.
Yeah.
It was a trading post, pretty good at that time. Mm-hmm. Post office, you can see it on the map. Woodchopper.
I have a map with me. Can I get it out and then you can show me where Charlie River is?
Yes, I think I got it. his Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving Creek.
Yeah. Very good creek.
Okay.
Then the Weber Creek. W-E-B-E-R.
Weber.
Weber Creek.
Weber Creek.
Yeah, that's why I say prospectors there quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then Woodchopper Creek. For Weber Creek about maybe 10 miles to that or 12 miles.
Now this is the Woodchopper Creek where Dean Patty had operations.
That's right. But if
Lake
New Corn, the same limit. The next one after Woodchopper Creek will be the Coal Creek.
Coal Creek.
Yeah, only 4 or 5 miles difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then after the Coal Creek, we'll Sam Creek.
Salmon?
Sam.
Like fish?
Sam.
Oh, Sam,
Sam,
like a man's name.
Like last name, Sam Creek. Yeah.
Okay. And then after Sam
then
Creek?
Then Charlie River.
Charlie River.
Yeah. He does. Now, this is the wrongest in maps, whatever he is. Whatever.
Okay, and so that winter you just went.
Then after that, this division, Charlie Division, that will be.
After so, that, then you
the
then you go into
Eagle
the
District,
40,
Eagle District. You see, then Washington Creek was there. That was used to be mailmen go. What's his name? I forgot now name. Oh, the damn thing! Carry the mail, the dogs. It's maybe 8-10 dogs. They carry the mail, and you get a shaft for the dogs, a mocker for the dogs, put on the anyway.
Yeah.
I think old Gary was there.
So when you left the Charlie River winter,
yes.
You went over to Woodchopper to get your mail,
to
go back to Springs.
You, 70 miles, at least 70 miles to go from the circle Woodchopper Creek,
Woodchopper.
Yeah,
there's a Woodchopper community there.
Is that where you went?
Yeah,
that's right, but this is not right. This is way out on Yukon.
Uh-huh.
So I come from that Charlie River, of course, but 70 miles from where I was at Copper Creek, and to that Govosay, that you don't go for winter time.
Yeah.
Never mind the mail.
Right, I see.
Yeah, so that nobody go, only two of us. Yes, that before they used to use Indian tribes,
mm-hmm.
at the Copper Creek. They condensed pretty strong there, so not so very good. I got better map than that, you see. I think a better map.
This isn't detailed.
No.
Where's the Salcha River here now? You said this.
Salcha River here.
It's pretty close
spring.
In here.
Salcha Spring, yes. Yes. Over that the mountains. This, let's see.
The Salcha comes down. Here's the Salcha right
yeah,
here.
Yeah,
so North Fork.
Yeah,
we're pretty
see
close.
The, yeah, still close. You see that
it's
here?
Just
here
over
yeah.
The,
over the hills. See?
Over the hills from here.
See big wind. Oh, that's the creek. Big wind. You see that? Yeah. I was close to that big wind. That's the big wind creek empties into the Birch Creek, and that's also that the spring was there, hot spring that creek. But don't show this ship creek. That's where I was rocking the go on the close to the ship creek. Here,
uh-huh.
See, yeah. But it's show very poor showing if you see that not detailed.
Yeah, this isn't a very detailed
yeah, no.
map. This is mostly for highways.
Yeah. From that the Charlie River Woodchopper Creek, then I come later on. I come to here.
You came back to
come central. You
central.
See? Central. Yeah, see. And I was working over there for a while. Never mind that here, see, on the Birch Creek by the bridge, they get sawmill. So I went out to cut log for the guy who was there. Both. Well, anyway, that's they all dead now. Now Wilbur Jewell, he was there. That now he they are to school guy outside there, on, not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one that worked together. But anyhow. Then I got the job for that old man, Gus Erickson.
Gus Erickson,
he was up to the... No, that's Liz, that's right, up to the Master's Creek, you see, on the head of that. He and I worked together, maybe couple summers.
Couple.
Mm-hmm. I only worked maybe 2 months. That's all the water last. They don't know more.
Oh.
You see? No
that
more.
That was Placer.
Placer mining.
Mm-hmm.
We had a small outfit, and he paid me good.
Mm-hmm.
He paid me. I used to park for King Grove, you see, and then the park $8 a trip from Miller House to up to the creek.
Yeah.
Then he needed the horse to move the boxes, the pipe. So Simon, maybe you go to town and buy the horse. Well, I said, okay, I will. So I went downtown and bought the horse.
You went to Fairbanks.
Fairbanks.
You walked.
First, yeah. No, I rode to somebody. I think he said. No, I rode to somebody. I think I rode to some mailman. I guess.
Yeah.
Then. Oh, there was stage that time. That's been right. That stage would come to circle to meet the boat here from circle from steamboat wheeler, you see.
Stern wheeler.
The third wheeler, yeah. So get them. That's once a month that they come. See? So I went to that Helen Casey or somebody else. No, somebody else was traveling beside Helen. Helen Casey was later on, but not. But anyhow, so I went to that outfit to Fairbanks and get me a horse. Pay $250 for horse.
Whom did you buy it
from? I forgot the name. He was a Polish guy. He used to have a pair close to Esther someplace, and I bought from him. See?
Was the horse a good one?
Oh, yes, it was a good horse. It's tame and nice. So I rode from Fairbanks to here. But on the clay summit, the guy was a bootlegging guy that made moonshine. I bought me a gallon of moonshine. Bought me a gallon of moonshine, and I supposed to bring that up the creek with my partners there, yeah. And before I come to Miller House, we drank it up, because I stopped many places all the time, I said, drank it up. I told him, I said, Gus, I had a misfortune to tell you. On 12-mile summit, I said, was getting dark, clouds, lightning, and storm, and when the thunder roaring, you see, I dropped the horse gets served sideways, and I dropped the gallon of moonshine on the wall and broke it. He said, Simon, I don't think you're a very truthful man, he said, but I don't think I believe it. You never let that moonshine go. But anyhow...
Did you ever tell him what you
well,
did
I
with
told
it?
Him later on, all right. Well, I said, well, as I knew that. So he got the own outfit. He got the copper coil and everything else. He made his own moonshine.
He made his own moonshine.
Oh, yeah, whiskey. A good one, too.
Yeah. So you used that horse. What did you use it for?
Well, we got to use it for take the pipe sometimes. Boxes, wooden boxes, pretty heavy, you know.
Yeah.
To help otherwise, you had to pack it. So sometimes we use windlass and hook up the rope, you know, this way. You
see.
Yeah.
I see.